at Berean Baptist Church. Just an honor to come back here and say thank you. Thank you for your faithful missions giving for us there. And of course, you know we couldn't be there without your prayers for us there. That's the major thing. And if you've not yet stopped by the table out there to get a prayer card, please stop by and grab one of those. We covet your prayers. And it's a very, very challenging work that we have there in Slovenia. And I wanted to mention, I wasn't planning on it, but just watching the presentation myself, just since I put that presentation together a month ago, I guess. Let me start it like this. When we went to Slovenia, we were the only independent Baptist missionaries there. And through God's grace, along the way, three other families came. And so we rejoice in that. And by the end of this calendar year, all three of those families will have left the field. It's a hard place, but we rejoice in what God is doing there and how He's working. And I just count it an honor and privilege to get to be there and have a front row seat to watch God work in the lives of people. It's a tremendous blessing to get to do that. And thank you for having a part in that as well. If you have your Bible, I would invite your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, you don't really think of missions messages coming out of the Old Testament so much. And so, well, probably because this is not really a missions message, unless they're all missions messages. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, and while you're turning there, just want to say a few things. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Like maybe I feel right here standing in Brother Abel's pulpit. Just overwhelmed sometimes. Life can really make you feel small and insignificant. And the challenges and the burdens and the hurts can sometimes just pile up on us, can't they? You know, we just hearing the prayer list and thinking about the things that are going on in my home church with people being sick and people passing away, and just sometimes it really does stack up on us. And we can look around at everything going on, and at times we can arrive at a place, if we don't follow the counsel of that song that Brother Yates sang there, we can arrive at a place where we can say, God, where are you? That can really happen in our lives. And we can begin to feel like just a pawn in this game of life. Insignificant piece in the machine. Trapped as a prisoner in this life. A slave to the process of everything that's going on around us. You see, that's exactly where the children of Israel were at one point in time. Only they were slaves for real. Everything that I mentioned above up there where they were feeling while they were in Egypt as slaves. Insignificant, nameless people just working away. Times had changed for them in that place. You see, once they had favor and they had a place, they had a position there in Egypt. Now they're slaves. And they were beginning to feel like this place was not for them anymore, and they were just completely overwhelmed. As a slave, obviously, you're powerless to change anything in your life. To get out of this cycle of oppression seemed totally impossible. And they'd been in this condition for so long that they couldn't remember anything else. Barely any remembrance of how things used to be, a freedom or even real life. So in all reality, there was very little hope that anything would ever change. So the mindset had to be just put your head down and work. Because you're a slave after all. And that's really what we do so often, isn't it? We just get to the point where we feel overwhelmed, so we just put our heads down and we just try to work. So it gets to a point sometimes where maybe you feel like, I'm sure none of these cherubs that sang up here earlier probably ever get like this, but you know how you see, you go to Walmart or something, you see a toddler doing something on their own and somebody tries to help them, and what do? They say, no, I do it. We try to do things on our own too many times. Maybe a teenager who has to be, you know, learn the hard way instead of asking for help. And we just need to get to the point where we cry out to God. Amen. And it was just like the folks here, when they cried out, it was like God was like, yes, you finally get it. You're finally turning to me. And you see, God loved them and He wanted them to come out of this place of despair, this place of hopelessness, this place where there was no rest for them. That's our God. God of the universe, the God of creation, the God who spoke all these things into existence, the very giver of life. He loved Israel. He loved each one of them individually. They weren't nameless faces. Here's where we pick up the story in Deuteronomy. Moses he's about to recite to the next generation what had happened in the past to those who would be crossing over in hopes that they would pass this information on to their children. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. I want to stop right there. I really want to hone in on that last verse and look more closely at that. But let's pray first and then get right into this. Heavenly Father God, I thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your goodness and Your long-suffering with us. God, I ask that You would bless this reading of Your Word, that You would bless the declaration of Your Word, that most of all, that You would be honored and glorified in all that's done here today. Most of all, by our reaction to what Your Word says. I ask You to get the glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see here, looking at what I'm going to consider the key verse of the verses that we looked at is verse 23. And I want to hone in on some phrases here. Verse 23 says, and He brought us out. Now there's something about this word brought. He didn't say He sent, and He didn't say He called. It says He brought them out. Now the word bring means you're going with it. Yeah. So the idea here is God went with them as they're coming out of Egypt. To say He brought means He took them with Him. We can say He led them out of Egypt. And we know that to be true when we read the account there. He brought them out. But He didn't bring them out to leave them out. That wasn't the point of the exercise. Not just to get them out of a jam or a rough spot or a difficult time or a desperate situation. That was not the point of the exercise. No, no, no. It was His desire was to bring them out so He could bring them in. Take a look at that. Wanted to bring them into this place of promise. To this good land you read in Exodus chapter 3. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. That's the land that God had for His people. He brought them out of this terrible place to bring them in to this wonderful place. His perfect place for them. Now imagine if you were that Israelite and you'd been a slave and you were tired of it. You finally get to the point where you cry out to God and say, God, help us. And He does. And He does something. You come to the end of yourself and you cry out to Him and suddenly you realize He heard you. He heard you crying out to Him. You had to be shocked. You had to be excited. You had to be overjoyed to know that God heard your voice. You're probably maybe a little anxious to leave this place of slavery to go to the promised land. You know why? Because slavery is the only thing you've known. Maybe you heard stories about the land back over there, but you personally don't know anything about it. But they didn't make it very far because they had the mentality of a slave. Didn't make it far with those excitement emotions. If we were to go look back in the previous books, you'd see in Exodus chapter 13 how they left Egypt with a high hand, the Bible says. And then the next chapter in 14, the Red Sea comes along. And what did they say? Moses, was it because there's no graves in Egypt that brought us out here to die? They're complaining already because that's the mentality of a slave. To complain, to murmur. Exodus chapter 15, they come to the bitter waters of Marah. And what do? They complain. Exodus 16, they didn't have food. And what do? They complain. 17, at Rephidim, they needed water. And what do? They complained. We know in Exodus chapter 32, Moses is up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, receiving the law of God. And what is his people doing? They're down in the valley building idols. They don't know what to think of this Moses. So they're resorting back to the idols that they're familiar with from Egypt. You move into Numbers. They complain for meat. Then Numbers 12, Aaron and Miriam start to murmur about Moses. Then there was the 12 spies that got sent out. 12 spies went out. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Yeah. Well, most of them were bad. They brought back a bad report. And what did they do? They murmured and complained about this land. Oh, it's a good land, but there's giants there. And we can never overcome these giants, discouraging the people. And then there's Korah's rebellion in Numbers 16. Numbers 20 comes along and there's a need for water again. And what does Moses do? He's about had enough. And he beats the rock. He costs himself. Can you imagine each one of these times the people saying, God, where are you? Where are you in this mess that we're in? We need you, and where are you? 10 times at least they murmured and complained about how God was providing for them. Now step back and think about this with me. Do you think they murmured knowing that God was leading them? Or did they have maybe a slight question? Did they have some doubts? Is God leading us? We've got all these problems. How is it could be that God is leading us and we still have all these problems? I think doubts crept in. And that left little room to trust and obey. Very little room for trusting. Because they run into some problems. I think we tend to think we read this and think, man, these untrusting, these weak Israelites, what is their problem? Why can't they get it together? We also have the advantage of reading the end of the book, reading the end of the story, and we know what happened. You see, they were living it. They were in the present at that time. They didn't know how it was going to turn out. They'd have to trust him by faith. They were in the middle of this story. They were living it. Now, should they have trusted God? Absolutely, yes. They had seen God do many, many wonderful things. Hey, if I can run, just like we have. Just like we've seen God do many, many wonderful things. And yet sometimes in our lives, maybe some doubts can creep in. Maybe we don't always trust like we used to or like we should be trusting. If you know the story here, say many, well, not many, most, well, all of them but two, right, perished along the way. This process of being brought out, they didn't make it. They were consumed in the way. They murmured, they complained, they doubted, and they did not trust God's plan enough to follow Him. Somewhere along the way, they stopped trusting God's plan. Somewhere between being brought out and being brought in, they fell out along the way. Now, I hope those words never be said about any of us. These folks, they gave up. Because they gave up, they were casualties along their journey. They loved coming out with that high hand. That was a big deal, and they loved that. They loved being brought out, but they despised the process of being brought in. Now, here we are today. We can have those same, God, where are you type of moments. I'm not talking about unbelievers here. I'm talking the guy wearing my shoes and socks and yours too. It can happen to us. The pressures and cares and troubles of this life can make you feel like you're all alone. Now you're not. By any means, you are not alone. But we allow ourselves to feel that way. Maybe a young person here, a student, the young people right here. Classes get bigger and bigger, and you can feel like just a number, just like all those slaves over in Egypt, right? You're a numberless face. You can feel that way. You can feel all alone in a crowd. Young married people. What are you going to do with your life? We can get all caught up in these things. What will life even be like if you were to have children? What are the things that we see happening in the world today? It makes us question, doesn't it? What's the world going to be like in 5 years? Say 12 years ago, last time we were here. Think of the things that have happened in those years. The things that are happening now. You never would have dreamed 12 years ago that would be where we're at today. And yet it is. Yeah. It's exactly where we're at. Yeah, I make no apology to be an American citizen. Amen. No apology of that. I train my kids. You see, You're living in a foreign land, but you are an American citizen. And when you see the flag and someone sings the anthem, I don't care who you are and where you're at, you sing the anthem to the top of your lungs. I took my boys to a soccer game there in Slovenia. The American team come and played the Slovenian team. And I took my kids there. Of course, we were the only Americans there. They played the anthem, and here I am and two of my boys there, and we're singing, and everybody's looking at us.
Sing it, brother.
Because I'll privately later, I'll sing it for you. You know what? They don't sing their anthem. Just a song to them. I'm a proud American citizen. But you know what? If you don't feel like this place doesn't fit you anymore, you might better check your salvation. Because this place doesn't fit us anymore. This place is not the way it used to be. A once Christian nation is now hardly recognizable. Politics, the way they are. Things that are going on in our country today can make you say, God, where are you? Where are you, God? We too can lose trust. Our trust can fall away. With the things going on in the world, we can step back and really get intimidated by everything that's going on and have that same mentality that the Israelites had coming out of Egypt. So I want to say, look, after God saves someone, He brings them out of that burden of sin. He brings them out of the struggles of hopelessness and the struggles of the lack of peace that they have. And He wants to bring them into that rest and that hope and that peace. That's what He wants for each and every one of us. It is His perfect plan for me and for you to have that hope and peace and rest in Him. But you have to trust Him. You got to trust Him in the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of this journey, this process from coming out to coming in. We've got to trust Him. You got to trust that He knows what's going on. And maybe He's got a plan. Maybe He's got a plan for each one of us in this stuff that's going on. I think, you know, God doesn't have a plan B. He's got one plan, and it's His people to stand up and be heard in all of this stuff that's going on. We can't take this mentality of let's shelter in place here and gather everybody together and huddle up and just endure. That's not how I read the Bible. We're supposed to be attacking the gates of hell, dragging them out of the fire. I think people today are looking for something, looking for people whose lives are different, who are exhibiting some trust that there is some plan involved in this, that there is something bigger than what is happening with us right now. God's looking for people like that who will step out, say, I'm not much. God, if you'd use me, I'll take my place. I'll take my place. You may have noticed at the end of the presentation, I make a plea for people to come and help. You know, I'm not just zeroing in on the young people when I say that. I'd love to have any age person come to Slovenia and let's do something together. I said this morning, if you're still breathing, hey, God's not done with you. If you're still breathing, God's got a plan for you. And so, could it be? Could it be God might want to use you some other place, some other country? God might want to use you to take the gospel there. Maybe we ought to say, God, would you use me? God, do you want to use me? Not make Him twist our arms like He had to twist mine. Will you trust Him in the midst of this journey? You'll have opportunities not to, I promise you. Things aren't always going to make sense. Just like they don't make sense a lot of times right now. Somewhere along the way, you'll have an opportunity to stop trusting God's plan. Somewhere between being brought out and being brought in. I don't know. I'd hope this would never be the case. But there were a lot of casualties in the process of being brought out before they were brought in. Most were casualties. Hope that never be said of any of God's people here. All the while, God had such different plans for these people, and yet they would not. They would not. I just want to challenge you. Don't despise the process. Don't despise the journey, whatever it may look like. You're not alone. However you may feel, you are not alone. You're not abandoned. Even when things don't make sense, He is there. He is there with us, leading the whole time, bringing you along. Don't doubt Him. Sometimes it's the only way He can use to get our attention, some of these things that happen in our life. I don't know, it could be that there's some folks still here in their sin today, still a slave to that burden of sin. Well, if you are, God wants to bring you out of that. He wants to bring you out of that, but He's not going to drag you out. He wants to bring you out, but He won't drag you forcibly out of that sin. You have to decide. You've got to come to the end of yourself, and you've got to surrender. You've got to cry out to Him, just like those Israelites did. They cried out and say, God, deliver us. Maybe that's you here tonight. You need to be delivered of your sin for the first time. So I'm going to ask you, come to the end of yourself and cry out to Him. God loves you, and He wants to bring you out of this place of despair and hopelessness. He loves you. He loves you. And He's interested in you as an individual, just like He was those individuals in Israel. Interested in you individually. And He has a perfect plan for each one of us. So stop trying to work harder to make God happy with you. Surrender. Cry out. And let Him bring you out so that He can bring you in. Would you stand to your feet with me here this evening? I want to pray. And then however the Lord might work in your life, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for service, whatever God might want to do in your life, let's pray that God would do that in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank You so much for Your goodness, mercy, and the long-suffering that You have with us. And as Brother Yates was singing that song, it was convicting to me. How much we need to trust You. So God, I pray that You'd have Your will and way in each heart and life here this evening. May You be honored and glorified in our response to Your word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.